I'm going to put the question for two. there was only two, but between from July, when the waiting time was 8 weeks, to now, January 2025, it's risen to 30 weeks, risen to the section of orthopedic surgeries. For what reason has the list risen so much? There's a difference in a month, and it's been steadily rising over the past 6 months. So could the Honourable Minister give reasons as to why the time, the waiting time seems to be increasing to see orthopedic and by what decreasing? That's because it reflects a quicker need that have been referred to the orthopedic department and it reflects on the business. So is it the case that there was a backlog in hip and knee replacements that now caused these waiting times to increase in general? No, I don't think that. Could you remember clarify whether why there's been such an increase suddenly in hip and knee replacements in the past 6 months? I mean, the average waiting times in the NHS, which have been provided in the approval, seem to be rather stable. The waiting time still seems to have a slight increase from July to date. What's the key to that? Then people have an older population, people for different reasons for an impact on the referral. And if you look at what's happening, the average waiting time goes down, it goes up, and it's retro. But you can look at it, it's under control in the community at the moment.
To quote, the governance of Gibraltar has acquired the remaining 67% shareholding in equity from Northumbrian Water Group, bringing the company into full public ownership, end quote. In answer to questions of clarification, the Chief Minister stated that the project is to be financed by the Gibraltar Savings Bank and held by Gibraltar Aquagrid Holdings Limited. Given that no company of this name exists on the Gibraltar Company's health register, can then confirm that the relevant companies in fact GAH Limited, company number 116663, previously named GEWP Limited.
After the Honourable Minister for Healthcare and Business.
Thank you, Governor. Professor 67, the Water Network Department is selecting the network recently as a perceived delay in response to claims of increase in certain terms of conditions in effect in Fairland. I want to say to the Executive District of the Procedure. The government will not, however, comment on any industrial relations matters in any of the government owned companies where management runs all the industrial relations independently. In answer to question 69, I can confirm that the company which was acquired with 67% shareholding in equity of the Northumbrian Water Group is GAH Limited, with company registration number 116663. The company is previously known as GWP Limited. In answer to question 68, GAH Limited is a 7.5 million debenture at 4.5% per annum to the Water Savings Bank to finance its purchase of the equity limited shares.
Madam Speaker, in 1969, given the Minister's confirmation that this company is GAH Limited and not Gibraltar Aquagrid Holdings Limited, which doesn't exist, which is the information given by the Chief Minister to the House, does the Chief Minister want to correct the record?
No, ma'am.
Very well. That the information clearly was inaccurate at the time, given that the Minister has now confirmed as much. Madam Speaker, can I ask in relation to 68, in terms of the terms of the facility, can I ask about the mentions, the honourable members mentioned, that it's focused on the planning, can I ask for how long?
Madam Speaker, the information was not inaccurate at the time, but the other gentleman will know, when you create a company with initials, it has to have a word which is relevant to each initial. And so although the company is called GAH Limited, the words that I gave the Parliament are the words behind those initials.
Madam Speaker, I mean, first of all, my question has been answered, perhaps the Minister will answer it, but in relation to this issue, Chief Minister did not just say Gibraltar Limited, but he said that Gibraltar Aquagrid Holdings Limited. Hence, the question posed by my honourable colleague, Mr. Clinton, whose question is this, that having done so, that company simply doesn't exist. So that's why, and I ask him again, does he not really want to, rather than steer it away from the inaccurate information, does he not really not want to correct the record given the Minister's answer? I think the honourable gentleman's use of language is always designed to debt protect, when in fact what we should be trying to do is get to the information. If I had told them JAH Limited, they would have asked me what does JAH stand for. If I had told them, Madam Speaker, JAH Limited, they would have asked me what does the A and the A stand for. Because that is exactly what they asked me when I told them the initials that were used for our company. I'm not surprised, Madam Speaker, that honourable gentlemen keep asking the same question. Because they don't shut up that man is giving them the answer. They just spend the time from a 70 position saying things which prevent them from hearing the logic of what they are told. I'm sorry, Madam Speaker, because I gave them more information.
Rather than have a comment from a statutory position, but then I'm going to put them in because we want to know.
I feel last night on viewpoint having a bad moment when Faith was very slightly father of the house. So I know that he's become a cantankerous old man in his mid-range, and I'm not surprised that he's sitting there trying to cut him. But for the purposes of being clear, Madam Speaker, GAH means Gibraltar holdings. I didn't move any away from providing information. I was providing more information. That's the reality. And if it comes to a position that is important to you, easy to click about, Madam Speaker, and I'm not surprised that this would be the one doing the cooking, given how that one might want to regard the way that they conduct their politics. But that is the information. Madam Speaker, it's important to hear the Chief Minister himself to the House. And I said to my colleague, Mr. Clinton, who's been here today, because he's done away, that the Pentagon report, he wrote up Project Holdings Limited, that my colleague, Mr. Clinton, then by the search, several times, discovered this company doesn't exist. And that's the question, and the Chief Minister still doesn't want to correct the record from the inaccurate information he gave to the House. Can I ask the Minister to answer the question that I posed when the Chief Minister intervened not to correct the record? Which is, what is the length of the facility granted to by this company? Well, I'm speaking not with a preamble that once the Council President somehow misled the House or given it inaccurate information, because I have not, and I would remind the Honourable Gentleman that the only individual in the parliamentary history of Gibraltar, even when we had a legislative council, we had a House of Assembly, who has been found by a motion of the House to have misled the Parliament is still not me. Madam Speaker, we all witnessed, so would I, we were in the front line of the Kinder report constructed by the Chief Minister when he knew the facts of the case and turned this inaccurate information into the mentions that the members of this panel have had this note found. Can I ask the Minister again to answer the question that I have asked, which is, what is the length of the facility? No, Madam Speaker, not for the preamble like that, which is obviously going to require me to remind the Honourable Gentleman that the only person who thought of set up a calendar report was him. Because the only person who brought a motion saying that anybody had misled the House by amending my motion, which could not talk about misleading the House, was he, Madam Speaker. He tried to word the facts in order to fit the predetermined circumstances that he thought were helpful to him. Madam Speaker, given everything that is going on in the world, it is, and indeed, as you know, going on in the world, it is quite remarkable that what the Honourable Member wants to talk about is the fact that he got more information than just the emissions of the company, and he wants to go back to things that happened a few months ago. So that's an entirely clear, Madam Speaker. People will see how he describes the functions of the leader and the organization, perhaps because that's what they feel, that's why he continues to describe only the functions of the leader and the organization, and not of the leader of the class. If I may, Madam Speaker, what is incredible is that I have asked a question several times, and that the Chief Minister continues to back in definitively because of the inaccurate information he gave to the House. I asked him for the first time, how long was the facility? How long was the facility?
The question before the House is now, how long is the facility? Madam Speaker, the budget does not have a number, we have an annual review.
Our government aware of the concerns of residents and members in relation to the proposed development at the ex-Armand Bakery on the annual rate, and which they are considering the possible action of the solicitor. After the Honourable Minister for Health Care Minister.
Madam Speaker, the Department of Telephone and Building Control can confirm that an application has been submitted for proposed development at the ex-Armand Bakery site on Langwell Road. The application is currently open to public participation with an update for a suitable comment between the 29th of January and 2025. At the time of drafting this answer, no representation has been received.
So, can I just clarify, no representations have been received by the department or by the minister?
no formal representations have been made having received all the objections to the department.
There was not aware of representations either made to her or indirectly made to other people. Is she aware of those concerns?
Yes, sir.
And in light of that, because I imagine those concerns have reached the government as well as they have reached the representatives, and wouldn't be that normally wouldn't be that the concerns only be up, because maybe they would have taken to the government. Does the government take a position in relation to those concerns? Are there meetings to be held to discuss those matters with those people concerned in the neighboring area?
Madam Speaker, the government has owned that building, and the government has a right to the representation to receive that and to tell the
government. So, for the most part, the government will await where the representations are received. Is that what you said? I don't hear it.
Madam Speaker, the proposal goes through the proper DPC process. Therefore, the applicant will exactly have to repeat by the DPC, and the DPC has to take the
lead. Yes, that's understood. And when the minister's given, I think, a deadline of the 29th of January for that, what I was asking is not a question to the government on the basis that this is a DPC issue. The DPC will make its mind up. But given that there are government ministers that sit on the DPC and may have a view on it, and may have received comments from, or be aware of them, whether the government has a position in relation to that development.
Madam Speaker, as I previously stated, we are through the DPC process and the DPC will come to some conclusion. If there are any ministers that sit on the DPC, because the government ministers represent their own view on the DPC.
Yes, understood. And can I ask the minister, perhaps, to the extent that she's on the DPC and Mr. Bell, to perhaps make herself aware and government ministers of the nature of the representations and objections that we have discussed. Throw into the mix, because certainly from our perspective, when we have looked at the nature of the development and the impact on the area, there's certainly a lot of residents that are going to be affected quite significantly by that development, so perhaps that should affect the thought process that is going on in relation to that application.
The first thing I'm saying is that I need to clarify that I do not sit on the DPC. I am responsible for the DPC, but I have not sit personally on the DPC. And I respect that any of my colleagues who prepare themselves for the application in the same way they prepare for any application, and therefore they're going to do the process along with any objections received. Next question.
Question 22, the Honourable Minister of Education.
My speaker, does the TSO plan to employ director finance?
I'll put it over to Mr. Patel, Karen Bishop.
Thank you for your time.
I see. And is the director finance supported by other individuals within a particular finance team in the GSA at the moment?
Yes, sir.
And is the issue of presumably the director of finance would be responsible for control of expenditure and other issues, and so why was it necessary to employ someone now for some kind of internal audit process?
Thank you, sir. I don't expect to be overall leading organization understand and how Nordic is entirely different to a finance function within any organization?
So this function was not fulfilled by the director of finance previously. Is that what the minister said?
And he said, of course not. Internal audit is an entirely different function to the finance function.
Two possible questions. Question 95, general impact.
The number of outstanding disability benefit applications broken down as follows. Those applications pending for less than 1 year. B, applications pending for more than 1 year. C, applications pending for over 1 year. They go to bed for filing the exact number of applications. D, applications have been outstanding. D, further broken down by the number of child and adult applicants.
My people will answer together. I will answer together on question 26, 201. Question 96, general impact.
Could the government provide the number of outstanding or pending appeals against decisions to refuse the disallowed disability benefit? Broken down as follows. A, appeals pending for less than 1 year. B, appeals pending for more than 1 year. C, appeals pending for over 1 year, with a detailed breakdown specifying the exact number of years they have been outstanding. D, further broken down by the number of child and adult appellants.
Question 97, honorable expenses.
Could the government provide the figures from 2022 to the present date for appeals against decisions to refuse or disallow disability benefits, broken down as follows. 1 by child disability benefits and adult disability benefits, 2 for the following categories, 3 appeals received, 4 appeals successful, 5 appeals unsuccessful. Could the government provide the exact date on which the board or panel specifically constituted for determining child disability benefits applications convened to make determinations during the following years, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025 to date.
Question 99, honorable impact.
Could the government provide the exact date on which the board or panel specifically constituted for the determination of added disability benefit applications convened to make determinations during the following years, 2020, 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025 to date.
Question 101, the honorable expenses.
Could the government provide the exact date on which the board or panel specifically constituted for the determination of appeals against decisions to refuse or disallow adult disability benefits, convened to make determinations on such appeals during the following years, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025 to date.
Answer the honorable speaker. Yes, sir, speaker. There are 38 applications that have been pending for less than 1 year, 53 in respect of adults and 25 in respect of children. There are no applications that have been pending for over a year. And that's the last question I've asked.
Stephen asked the question, I think there are 22 appeals that have been pending from Dexter on 1 year for reconsideration as a result of an appeal against the Stephens to refuse or allow disability benefits, 17 in respect of adults and 5 in respect of children. There are 21 appeals that have been waiting more than 1 year, 15 in respect of adults and 6 in respect of children. And Speaker, the adult-related claims pending for over 1 year, one claim has been pending for 3 years and 7 months, one claim has been pending for 3 years and 28 days, one claim has been pending for 2 years and 10 months, one claim has been pending for 2 years and 1 month, and 11 claims have been pending a maximum period of 1 year, 5 months or less. Of the children-related claims, one claim has been pending for 3 years and 15 days, one claim has been pending for 1 year and 6 months, one claim has been pending for 1 year and 5 months, one claim has been pending for 1 year and 2 months, and two claims have been pending for 1 year and 1 month. Now, for question number 7, from 2022, 65 adult-related appeals and 11 child-related appeals have been received, and these 4 have been successful and 9 unsuccessful. For the question of 98 and 99, I now hand over a schedule of information requested. And a seat of the board can reconsider the child disability benefit claims on the 21st of December 2020. The board of panel convened to reconsider adult disability benefit claims on the 1st of December 2022, the 8th of May 2024, the 26th of June 2024, the 9th of October 2024, and the 9th of January 2025. But in answer to question 98, the following are the exact dates on which the board or panel convened to make determinations on child disability applications. And my speaker, instead of reading those out, I have asked the schedule to be prepared of my answer to that and to my answer to question 99, which I hope will be more convenient for them to have to rather than reading out the listening of the text.
Or it will come back to questions 98 and 99 once you have remembered their chance to look at the schedule for these documentaries on 95, 96, 97, 100, or 101. And my speaker, in relation to 96 and the figures given for appeals. The figures given suggest that there are several appeals that have been pending for over 1 year and several other appeals that have been pending for some have been pending for 2 years and for 3. Could the Honourable Chief Minister perhaps elaborate on as to why the appeals might have been pending? And I really can't specify the details, but perhaps why we are seeing delays in this nature.
Well, I think I'm grateful that the LLA has asked me why and has not made the assumption that there is some thing on the official side in respect of those lengthy awards. For example, Madam Speaker, the claim that I saw the House was pending 3 years and 7 months. The individual has been repeatedly contacted and has not come in to deal with the claim. The claim has been pending 3 years and 28 days. The individual is in prison and therefore his case has not been taken forward by the panel. There's a claim which has been ongoing for 2 years and 1 month, and that cannot continue because there's been delay in the submission of paperwork by the person making the claim. There's one that has been waiting for 2 years and 3 months, which requires a specially constituted panel. For members who don't form part of the legal panel that took the decision, and I understand that has not been possible to convene for professional reasons. So, in cases where there is inordinate delay, Madam Speaker, it would appear that it is not the official side that is in any way failing. But we do have to give the statistic of being a pending claim, even though it may be a claim that is no longer being pursued by an individual who's been repeatedly contact and is not doing it, not coming forward.
Madam Speaker, I have a genuine concern because it is the area of disability benefit and constituents that are experiencing issues with delays and applications or determination of appeals is actually one of the areas in which most constituents come to speak to me about. And in most cases, they seem to be writing to the Department of Social Security, and they keep receiving letters about the board not having met to convene, and they need to write perhaps a year later to receive the same response that the board they have not convened to determine the application. Now, although this is intended as a criticism of the board and their hard work with everything that we think of in their service, is there any way that the system perhaps could be reviewed to see if it could be improved and the applications and the fields could be determined in a more timely or effective manner so that individuals don't have to experience the uncertainty and the waiting time and the undue stress that this makes them feel? the honourable member in a position to ask any supplementary from 1998 to 1999 which would like to intend. No supplementary. Next question.
Question number two, honourable chairman.
Is the government considering any enhanced security measures in pedestrian areas around the roadway, such as but not limited to main streets, to minimize the risk of vehicles being reached by members of the public?
After the level of achievement.
I think the focus on security of all who live, work, and visit Gibraltar is and always will be a first order of government. As that man and speaker, I want to make more sure of that and the public. That the relevant authorities and other security stakeholders continuously review and assess the security measures in place and potential threats in all areas. I want to reassure anyone listening that they are referring to explain that many people are secure and our streets are secure. Our people are secure. And speaker, the honourable members should have considered at the time of submitting the question, it is not in the public interest for other speakers to share the details of interest in relation to any specific measures of what they are.
I'm grateful, and I did consider that. Would it be possible for the honourable or the chief minister to perhaps give me that information behind the speaker's chair?
Although I don't have all of it with me today, yes, ma'am, thank you.
Next question.
Thank you. position of the satisfied, we will have an entire within our path.
Question 108, you want to go to the other one?
Come to the next one, the other one, the center motion of the most better category, the satisfied will apply, and the center will be the one with the letter.
Question 109, you want to go to the other one?
I am going to ensure that there is no downside person in the event of a status tax being introduced, as it will be an overactive in what people would have intended and certain goods and places under the previous regime.
Question 110, you will be supported.
How do the government intend to support and reserve the income tax records ahead of the challenge to the new status tax and make the best of the successful since the outcome?
Question 111, you will be supported.
Will status tax payments be due monthly, quarterly, or other?
Question 112, you will receive the dividend.
Would the government be able to provide us with any regulations and conducted on status tax revenue generation?
Also, you will receive the dividend.
I'm further able to introduce my New Year's message. For obvious reasons, I think I cannot expand further on the details of the negotiation. I'm surprised that the government doesn't appropriate to ask these questions across the floor of the House. Some things will ask for a general update on progress of the negotiation, but it's quite another to ask specific details, as one of the member, Mr. Federer, has said today that no it cannot be provided without endangering our negotiation position.
I had many discussions with the trading organisations where all the options have been discussed from the very beginning. So the Honourable Gentleman's premise is entirely incorrect in every respect.
Question 113, the Honourable DJ Bushiri.
What studies or assessments have been undertaken as respect to the effects of the recently announced reclamation project in front of the Harbourman's Promenade to the marine related activities in the area?
Answer, the Honourable the Chief Minister.
When is it expected that the works in relation to the recently announced reclamation will commence? When will the contractual arrangements in respect of the recently announced reclamation project be completed such that the Chief Minister will be able to make a detailed statement in respect of it?
Question 116, the Honourable DJ Bushiri.
What amount of rubble in cubic meters will be made available from the east side of the recently announced reclamation project?
Question 117, the Honourable DJ Bushiri.
Now, Speaker, we have already published the heads of terms entered in respect of the proposed new harbour reclamation that provides further details on the financial or land arrangements.
Question 118, the Honourable DJ Bushiri.
In respect of the harbour reclamation announced in the Chief Minister's new message to other parties, having engaged with funds of the heads of terms for the government to be allowed to deposit rubble at the reclamation and if so, at what cost?
Answer, the Honourable the Chief Minister.
I speak a number of technical studies have been carried out in relation to rescue reclamation. This includes a wave study to determine the effects of the reclamation on the wave regime within the harbour and a navigational study. Assess the impact on the movement of vessels within the area. Works in relation to the Western Reclamation are expected to commence as soon as the project has completed the planning process. Work is currently ongoing to complete the contractual agreement. An announcement will be made at the appropriate time once that process is completed. So the developer for the Western Reclamation will use whatever amount of rubble is deemed necessary from their stockpile at the east side to create the land. The exact amount cannot be stated and can vary depending on the final design for the reclamation, which will be finally determined after the DPC or EIA process has been completed. None of these persons are expected to be able to close the facility. At the stage of the time of the public announcement of the Western Reclamation was made, the project will be delivered at no cost to the government. The government will end up owning 60% of the total area created at no cost to it. The government will not publish the heads of terms, but once the contractual arrangements are finalized, a further announcement will be made about the final details of the contractual arrangements. In addition, in relation to the rescue, the connection is still allowed to be created using rubble from the developer stockpile on the east side. Can I just ask, in relation to 118, do I take it from the very last part of the Chief Minister's answer that where he says that they're going to use the intention is to use the east side rubble, that the answer to the question is, that no other parties will be depositing rubble. Yeah? Only inside rubble, I see. In relation to 116, which in effect deals with the availability of rubble from the inside project. To create, as I understand it, at no cost to the government for the new reclamation within the port area. But when the Chief Minister said in his New Year's message that it will not require the government to fund the cost of the reclamation up front, can it be more specific? Does that mean that the government will be an initial cost, but there may be an eventual cost to the Gibraltar government? Or is it the position that I think the Chief Minister was alluding to or suggesting that there will be no cost at any point in time for the Gibraltar government in respect of this reclamation? Well, that's another thing. In relation to the provision of rubble, and if I can refer the Honourable Chief Minister to the statement that was made originally when the EFED project was announced on the 8th of October 2021, he may recall
that certain or safer dot on the thousand in the care and each meeting would be removed by the government for the purposes, there were two purposes. One was the creation was to assist with in the sector of the Hassan base two rather or Hassan's engineering task service project, and also the creation after the creation of the first thing of Victoria Key. And given that further level would be made available to this now project, is there any risk that the East Ed reclamation would be prejudiced in any way or would not be going ahead? Can you avoid concerns in relation to that? Well, I think there's a concern, thanks. I'm sorry, there should be no concerns or there are no concerns? There should be no such concerns, thank you. Can the Honourable Chairperson, given the timeline that he provided in response to questions sent to him by Jonathan Scott in his Zoe program, that he was confident that, in effect, keys would be delivered to potential residents of this particular project, according to my calculations, in between January 2028 or 5 or 6 months thereafter, can you be more specific as to the start of commencement of the reclamation work, because if the government is going to be keeping to that rather ambitious timeline, in our view, it would be fair to understand what the position is in relation to the start line in terms of the commencement of the reclamation work. And I don't think that the government work was particularly informative as far as that particular issue is concerned. I think if we don't share any of those concerns, we don't feel we need to be more specific. And in relation to the first question, which I'll tell you, the Chief Minister made a reference, I think, in relation to Ms. Biden's and her questions, with a specific focus on marine-related activities. So the only way you can accept on my recollection of the answer refers to wave movement and instruments like that. But I was thinking more about other areas of human activity. For example, the discharging of the port-related activity related to rowing, and I understand there have also been concerns raised by port operators about the creation of this project. So had any people said that questions being worried in relation to have been undertaken in relation to those areas that I've just referred to in my supplementary. All of those matters have been considered by the Chief Technical Officer and those advising the government. And then I'll ask one very specific question in relation to that, especially in the order paper. If the extension gently from the demands that we have seen do not feature, I think this was created as a result of a pilot company at its own extent. Can the Honourable Chief Minister give some information to the House as to what the issues are in relation to that? Is it the case of the extension just certain will in fact be removed, or is it a question that it was incorrectly removed from the photograph that we have seen of the expected reclamation project? And the extension just was created by the Ministry of Defence from approximately 50 years ago. It wasn't created by any private entity. And also the extension just would be demolished. The Honourable Gentleman's firm represents the party that currently operates the extension jetty. I wonder whether he wants to declare a conflict of interest. Happy to do so if it is a threat that we are acting in relation to the fact that wasn't aware.
Question
number one, Norman, you have a question. Speaker, has the government received any formal communication from the Spanish government to the United Kingdom in respect of following the recently reported comments of the Spanish Foreign Minister in relation to the East Side project? After the Honourable Chief Minister. Let's go to Question 120, the Honourable Chief Minister. Has the Honourable Government received any formal instrument communication from the Honourable and Venezuela's President in respect of following the recently reported comments of the Spanish Foreign Minister in relation to the East Side project?
Oxford Global Logistics Limited. that there is a way through. Indeed, we have proposed that way, what that way through should be. And today, we have so much focus on the plans for these things to govern, which is inevitable. Through dialogue, by working together, we have moved forward in ways which we always have been drawn to in those dark, mild-hour days. We have come so far. But we are not there yet. We need to take just a few final steps together in this journey, which we started so long ago. And just so we will. In a matter of questions, we get to the last mile that is the hardest. In these negotiations, it is the last 0.1% that is the hardest. The goals of the technical discussions, which will soon be convened, continue on an ongoing basis. And I look forward to a further meeting of principles of which I am sure that we will resolve the firm difficulties which separate us from getting to this national goal clearly from together. I've already said that the speaker has been clear about the scope of progress and negotiations, and have always made clear to diverse and our people where we are on this, despite being faced with untruth, ungenerous, and unfair statements from the leader of the opposition about the scope of progress and negotiations. What I have told about it, what I am telling the House today, and what I said at the election, is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And it all deserves the only politician in our history to have been determined by a motion of this House to have misled it, to suggest that I have failed in my selfish duty of candor to our people. The only lie in this debate is the suggestion that this negotiation could be done quicker if the result was to be safe, secure, and beneficial for our people, which is the only result I am prepared to return with, however long it takes to go the final 0.1% left to agree. The Chief Minister Wilson has our support in trying to land a safe and beneficial agreement if one can be delivered. We will make the judgment as to whether it is safe and beneficial if and when an agreement is reached. We will also, however, continue repeatedly to remind people that the irony, when he mentioned that he was 0.01% away from doing a deal 16 minutes ago, it cannot have been true, whatever he said, outside or in this house. Can I ask him, however, on the kind of substantive negotiations and the original question which is about the actual, can he say whether the issue of the current obstacles that may remain, the issues that need to be resolved now, are they all within a particular bag of issues, for example, mobility of persons, or are they also to deal with, or are they also about goods? Now, his adopted view is myopic, and it's wrong, because it works in an industry, and it involves things in various bags. He mentions that there are a regular technical meetings between officials, and that he looked forward to a meeting of principles soon. Is there a meeting of principles in the diary? There isn't, Madam Speaker, but when there are, they are announced when they happen not before, for example, when they are going to be set up. The honour to lay the answers to written questions number W1 to 27 of 2025. I think I now have the right to move what the House of the Chancellor will do.
Thank you. I am aware that there were some questions from the over the paper. Thank you.